hiring is a necessity if you want to grow, as you said, mm-hmm. but it has to be done strategically, because you can also hire people that can cost you more money than they can make yes. you also.
This is the Contractor Files Podcast. Your hosts, Ethan McNeil and Trent Keith, take a deep dive into the construction and remodeling industry to uncover keys to success and pitfalls to avoid.
All right, well, welcome to the Contractor Files Podcast. I'm Ethan McNeil.
And I'm Trent Keith.
Today we are going to dive into the topic of hiring your first employee. Yeah, Trent, as you're as a business owner, I was by the time I got around, you already had several employees. Was it hard hiring, making the decision to hire your first employee? Do you remember that process?
No, when I first hired my first employee, it wasn't hard at all because I just needed somebody. So whoever asked first was the first employee. And I wouldn't suggest that being your method of picking the first person that you talk to is not necessarily the way to go about it.
Yeah.
But that's how I learned.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably how most business owners learn. You do it once, and then you have a bad experience, or something happens, and then you remember not to do it that way again.
That's right.
Yeah. So I had some points here. I guess I see you don't have any points.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Okay. Well, maybe we could kind of go through, and we can jump back and forth here.
Yeah.
So. You're a contractor, and you're wondering, should I actually hire an employee? I was trying to think through the process of what are some pros and cons. Is it time for you to hire an employee, or should you just keep plugging along? And one of the points that I wanted to point out was your company is only going to be as big as the number of employees you hire. If you are happy being alone and working and doing everything yourself, then maybe hiring somebody is just going to be a headache for you. Mm. But if your goal is to grow a business, to make a big business, bigger than what it is now at least, then you're going to have to hire in people. At some point, you've got to break down and hire somebody. And from the numbers standpoint, it almost always makes sense to hire somebody unless you're completely out of work. But if you are if you're feeling overworked, if you're even thinking about hiring somebody, it's probably because you have enough work, or you're overworked, or you're stressed with how much you have on your plate. And in those instances, it's almost always on paper, it's going to make more sense to hire somebody, to bring them in, to help you, because your business will grow. It is how businesses grow, by bringing on good employees. that was kind of where I was thinking of starting was, should you actually hire an employee? So what would you say to somebody that's like debating about whether they should or not?
Okay. I would say when you start trying to decide if you're going to hire an employee or not, the first thing obviously would be do you feel like you can hire someone who can help bring in more income? Because I know a lot of times small businesses, they may not even be making much money themselves, and yet they need to grow. Mm-hmm. In that process, they got to decide, is this person they're going to hire going to bring in more income, and is it going to cover the difference of what they will be spending out? I know a lot of times your business, as you grow, will need to pay someone, and you don't necessarily have the extra money to pay. Mm-hmm. So there comes times where the owners do not get paid, mm-hmm. but the employees do. So you've kind of got to weigh that. When you're ready to step out and hire your first employee, you have to know that there's going to be times that it will be a struggle. But just like you said, in order to grow, you have to get to that place to where you can hire people right. and you can step out knowing that it's time. This person's going to bring in enough finances to hopefully cover most of their yes. wages and then begin to be able to make money off of them after that.
Yes.
What's your thoughts with that?
Yeah. I think to that point of making money with the employees, I think you have two different types of employee hires. You have the ones that are costing you money, and those are usually your office personnel yes. or even your project managers, people who kind of do, they're going to be taking off of your profit margin. They're not necessarily somebody you can charge per hour for.
Yeah.
But then the ones that do make you money, those, I see those as two different types of classes. You've got the ones who are experienced contractors, mm-hmm. Workers, foremen, and they bring in a lot more money than, say, a helper, somebody that doesn't mm-hmm. know what they're doing. But, and they require that you have a lot of work. That yes. if you're getting ready to hire somebody that can handle doing a whole remodel by themselves or doing a whole job by themselves, you're gonna need those extra jobs to send their way to keep them busy and make it worth hiring them.
Yes.
But helpers, on the other hand, they make you money. They might not make you as much money, mm-hmm. but they do make you money. And I think that it makes sense to make sure that you have all of your, whether it's you or whether it's someone else, but all of your foremen, all of your lead construction workers, your lead technicians, that they would all have helpers. Because most of the time, a customer, I'm kind of going all over the place. Most of the time, a customer, if they see an hourly rate for a lead technician that's maybe $80 an hour, and they see a hourly rate that's maybe even $120 an hour, but it includes two guys, one of them might not know what they're doing, but the other one does. They're more okay with that $120 an hour a lot of times, knowing they're getting two guys for the price of that
yes.
Versus just one person at $80 an hour. So when you look at your crew, and maybe it's just you, maybe you're the only one working as that lead foreman, make sure that it makes sense that you would hire somebody, a helper, for at least one for every foreman that you have on your crew. Because you can make money off of those helpers as they learn.
Yes. So. Yeah, that makes sense. Another thing along with that is, I think the biggest key is making sure, like Ethan's talking about, you hire helpers, whether it be foremen or laborers, that can make you money. But then, as soon as you have a few employees that are making you money, you need to hire somebody to take care of the office part of the business that you do not want to take care mm-hmm. of. Whether it be estimates, meeting people, phone calls, emails, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And those people do not make you money as far as bring money in, mm-hmm. but they help spread a good reputation because they communicate with your yes. clients, they keep things organized. They make mm-hmm. sure that everything's in good working order.
Yes.
And once you have very many employees, you have to step out
right.
and have someone in the office also.
Right.
Unless you're going to do all the office work yourself. And then you got to make sure you have good foremen to run each job when you're not
right.
there. So
yes.
The organizational side definitely needs to be addressed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you have to have the employees to make you money first
right.
before you could address that side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to that point, those individuals, those employees that don't seem to make you money, like you were saying, the project managers and the office personnel, they actually indirectly do help you make more money
yes.
in that you can usually charge more for your projects when mm-hmm. they are more organized.
Yes.
You can charge a higher hourly rate. when you show up on time, when you have your crews all lined out and the schedule figured out, and the project manager has the materials ready. So yeah, just keep that in mind too. If you're thinking of hiring somebody to help you with your projects, not necessarily somebody you're going to be charging per hour, think about, okay, this is how much I'm going to have to pay for their salary. Can I up my price that I'm charging it through my estimates or for my hourly rate or my trip charges or whatever it is? Can I up this because I am giving the customer a better experience by hiring this person?
Yep, for sure. Definitely. So hiring is a necessity if you want to grow, as you said, mm-hmm. but it has to be done strategically, because you can also hire people that can cost you more money than they can make yes. you also. And you will learn that as you grow.
Yes. Well, that kind of goes into, I was thinking we should maybe list some of the qualities you look for and maybe the qualities you don't want. The red flags of when you are hiring somebody.
Yeah. There's a lot of those. You know, we're really in a place in society now where the ones we talk to, it doesn't matter what they want done, the ones we talk to, if someone shows up when they say they're going to show up, if mm-hmm. they turn in an estimate when they say they're going to return the estimate, if they communicate in that process, mm-hmm. they're already heads and shoulders above
right.
everybody else. So just simple things are major keys.
Yeah.
And that's part of hiring.
If
you have someone come, and not to jump back in, but you have someone come for an interview and they're 15 minutes late.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's not a good start.
Yes. Yeah. Another thing I would say when hiring employee is to make sure that you get references for that employee. Almost all jobs require that anyway. And then call those references. Don't just have them put down a list of people on paper and then do nothing with it, because it means nothing. You might call those people and find out they're fake. That really does happen. People put fake references on their resume or their application. I would say that's a great way to weed out potential people that you might be interviewing. Is to call their references. Get references, call their references. And it better not just be their mom and their dad. I mean, unless they've never worked for anybody before, ever, they should have some sort of employer that you can call. That is probably number one. A number one reference to look for is a past employer.
Yes, that's for sure. And that's kind of like, you know, you're talking about references is a big key with people. It's the same way if you know their family, if you know mm-hmm. their friends, you kind of have an idea of how they yes. operate and who they hang around with.
Yes.
Definitely all those things play a factor in, even if they're worth interviewing in the
right.
first place.
Right.
Because they got to be punctual on time.
Yes.
They got to be trustworthy. Just basic things. I was talking to someone yesterday who has had employees in the past, and he was saying, you know, he could have someone who works for him that's a thief in yeah. his business and get by, but he couldn't have someone work for him that was a liar, because if they lied, he couldn't help fix all the problems.
Oh my goodness.
Well, in construction business, it's different. You can't have a thief either, because you're in people's
yes.
homes, you're around stuff. But if you don't know those basic things, if you don't know if they can tell you the truth, and if they won't try to take something that
right.
someone leaves laying around, including your own tools, if you're the
yes.
owner of the company,
yes.
you've got to know those basic things.
Yep.
Will they be trustworthy and reliable in
yes.
those things?
Another thing when hiring somebody, do not be afraid to do a background check on them. That should be a standard procedure for you. It costs mm-hmm. $35-$40 for you to have a background check ran on potential
yes.
employees. I would definitely, you have to obviously disclose that to them when they go to apply for your job, but that is something, especially if you're just starting out, might be something you forget about, something you aren't necessarily thinking about, but I would make it a standard in your business. We run background checks on our employees. We want to know if they have a felony record or a criminal record of any kind. And not that you can't hire people like that, but just that you would know up front that they're not hiding anything. Yes. A lot of times you'll find out that after you mention you're running a background check, that's when they'll open up and be like, okay, well, you're going to find a few things on that record, and let me tell you what they are and what and give you more of an explanation. So that's just something that, you don't want to find out down the road. Oh, yes. This person had a record, and I could have seen this coming.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. Not only do you get into people's homes, but even dealing with businesses, a lot of businesses require that if you have employees there that you have a background check on
yes.
them. Or maybe they will run background checks also. So
yes.
that's a definite. And like Ethan said, a lot of times people have nothing in their background until you tell them you're going to run a check. And all of a sudden, they can tell you some things they remembered.
Yep.
But it's always because they were taken advantage of. They didn't do anything wrong.
So yep.
you've got to run that and make sure that you're not only covering yourself, but mm-hmm. you're covering your clients that you'll be working for
right.
in the future.
Yes. I can think of a few hires. Maybe I'm trying to think if there was a few. Maybe it was just one guy. But I remember there was like two DUIs on his record, and he had an explanation for both of those and why those happened and how it wasn't his fault. At least you know that going into it, so you're probably not going to let them drive the company vehicle, especially close to quitting time.
Yeah. And if you have company vehicles and you did not do a background check, you may have an employee that doesn't
yes.
have a driver's license
uh-huh.
driving your vehicle.
It's true. Yep.
We had many situations to where people couldn't drive the vehicles or we would have to provide them vehicles even uh-huh. if they were a helper because they didn't have their own.
Yep.
So you just got to make sure that you're covering all your bases
yes.
with those things. That's for sure.
One thing that I remember we did when we were hiring, especially people who said they were electricians and you have certain trades where like electricians, plumbing, even like carpentry and stuff like that, where you expect, if you're hiring somebody that says they have knowledge in that area, that they're going to bring a certain amount of knowledge and skill to that position. And so we had some tests that we would use inside our application. And, very basic tests, really, for carpenters. It was like identify these tools and tell us, the names of these things, what they're used for. Not everybody knew. Most people got the hammer correct. that was surprising. But I remember we had wiring diagrams for electricians. And that's just something to think about, especially if you've never hired anybody before. Think of some, they don't have to be elaborate, but think of some tests, some questions that are specific to your trade or what you're wanting out of somebody that will tell you whether or not they know that. It's very common to have those types of tests in place for big employers. Mm-hmm. So you might as well take advantage of that as a smaller employer and implement tests where you can. I think that is a better indicator of what the person knows than what they say on their resume. They can say they were an electrician for 5 years, and you find out that they really all they know is how to hand somebody tools.
Yes. Yes, and they didn't even know what a wire stripper was in
yeah.
the picture.
Yeah.
Or a skill saw for a carpenter.
If you wired a house the way you wrote that diagram down, there would be a fire.
There's a lot of basic things you can do that will give you a lot of information
yes.
on each person. And it's okay for laborers to not know anything
mm-hmm.
as long as they don't think they already know everything.
Yes.
You can teach people a lot as long as they're not your lead carpenter or electrician. You can teach people a lot if uh-huh. they're willing to learn.
Yep.
So that's okay. But your lead guys need to have some
yes.
evidence of their experience.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's that way in everything, whereas plumbing, electrical, construction, handyman, anything that someone supposedly had experience in.
Yes.
It's real simple to look up some, like Ethan said, some pictures, some diagrams, some questions mm-hmm. that will tell you real quick if they even know
yes.
how to spell electricity. Right.
Yes, yes. Yes. And again, this, I mean, it's all role specific. If you're going for just a helper who's going to be handing you tools, they don't have to know. I mean, maybe you just want to run background checks, make sure they're not going to be a thief. But that, I mean, just make it role specific too. Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Yep. That's right.
Did you have?
I was just thinking. Go yes. ahead. Go to your next one.
I was just going to say that to tag in with what Trent was saying about somebody that thinks they know it all. That seemed to be one of the hardest qualities to deal with in an employee. If you had somebody that thought they knew everything, and then you brought them onto the team, and more than likely you have a way that you want your work done. You have standards, you have certain ways you want things installed. And if you have somebody that's coming in that's a know-it-all, you're gonna have troubles. So that is something, that's a red flag, I would think, in the interviewing process before you even hire them. What kind of attitude are they giving you? Are they giving you the know-it-all attitude, I've got it all figured out, or are they humble? Are they able to, you know, honestly tell you the experience they have, especially if they're skilled, like not deflating themselves, but able to also know that, hey, I'm here to serve your company as an employee. I think it'll be a great benefit for both of us. Yeah. And not have the attitude of, I know everything that needs to be done, and here's what you're doing wrong, and this is the right way.
For sure. And the other part of this is, not always, but most of the time on lead guys, we had the most success with people who already had a job. So if they come in and they're a lead, they know how to do everything, and they do not have a job, we failed miserably with the success rate on those type of people. Yep. Most of the time it was people who had a good job, had been there for at least a few years, and stuck it out. Those were not always, but those were the best as a whole type of people to hire.
Yeah, because it shows that they're a good worker.
Yes.
Especially in this economy, if you don't have a job, there's a problem. There's a reason. I mean, everybody's looking for work. Looking for workers. Employees. Yeah, not work. So if somebody comes to you with a resume and they have been without work for 6 months, that's a red flag.
Yes.
There's a reason. They could be working at McDonald's while they find a job. There's no excuse to not be working.
Yeah.
Unless they're super wealthy and they didn't need to work. That's probably not the case.
then they might not be in your wages that you expect to pay out. They may not want to work for that.
Oh, yes.
So I think, like Ethan said, you know, there's a lot of red flags with employees. It can be whether they haven't worked for 6 months, they've got a prior record,
yes,
they've got an excuse for all these things that's happened to them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things that's red flags, but really the best case scenario is interviewing someone who has good things to say about the place that they work.
Yep.
And they have a track record.
Yeah,
where they're at.
That's good. Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that'd be my best case scenario.
Yeah. I had a couple points. Did you have anything else on, like, interviewing somebody, interviewing an employee, things to look for, not look for?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Well, I just, a couple things that more on the business side of things that for you to think about. So we started it off with whether you were hiring your first employee or not, and you know, the decision-making process and that. But this is more for down the road, things to remember. If you're hiring your first employee, remember, you are going to need insurance for that. And each state's different on their requirements, but at least in Indiana and a lot of the states around us, workers' comp insurance is required and something that's a good idea. If your employees get hurt on the job, it's to cover that, especially in the reconstruction industry. So that's something you need to consider when you are thinking about the cost of having an employee. The other thing is you're going to have payroll taxes, and your accounting, if you're just running by the seat of your pants right now and your accounting software is a spreadsheet, you're probably going to have to upgrade your accounting, at least hire an accountant to do payroll for you, or you can get a program and do it yourself, but you are going to have those extra costs. So that's just something to keep in mind if you are hiring your first employee. Those are just things I thought about.
Definitely. And a lot of times when you're hiring your first employee, they may not even be able to have their own tools or be able to afford their own equipment.
So yes.
A lot of times you have basic things, whether it be tool pouches, you know,
cars,
whatever tools they need, vehicles, whatever they need. So there's a lot of things that play into the overall expense that you want to weigh out in that process.
Yep. But again, your company is not going to grow unless you hire employees. So if you want to grow your company, you have to hire people. And that's kind of the last thing I had on my list, was as a business, you have to know that your employees are going to leave. It's silly to not plan for that. And I mean, every industry is different as far as how long employees stay, but especially in this day and age where, I mean, it's popular to move around and get different jobs. Probably because the economy is so good for employees. but you've got to plan, just like you might be thinking about how to market and get new clients and new customers. You also need to think about, okay, this employee, I can only plan on them being here 12 months. I have to have, what's my plan for when they're gone? What's my plan? Oh, what's my backup plan? And keep, just like you're trying to constantly get new customers and grow your customer base, you need to also constantly grow your employee base. Constantly think of, I've got to get more employees. I need to have backups for my existing employees, and that you're going to have a turnover. It's inevitable in this day and age. There we go. So that's something that I would highly suggest, is that you don't just have a hiring process of, oh my gosh, we need people. But then once you fill that and the need, it doesn't feel as strong, that you still develop a plan of, I need to keep my eye on the fact that my employees are going to drop off. This sounds bad, but they're like expendable assets. They're supplies. They're your materials. They're gonna drop off once they get used after so many months. No, but it's you're gonna run into the ground if you don't think about that. If you don't already have a plan in place of, okay, I need to have certain backup plans for my employees, because they are how you grow your business.
That's true. I thought you was going to say, you know, like you have a hiring process, then you need to grow a firing process. Because that will be part of it also.
Yeah. Yep.
But you're right. You have to have a process of trying to always vet new employees, because you have a hiring, you have a firing, you have a quitting, and you have all different processes in there.
Yep.
And do us both a favor. And when you start hiring people, do not expect them to stay forever and be mad when they leave.
Yes.
Be thankful for the time they work for you, and let them leave in peace.
Yeah.
Don't make it a big ordeal because they're moving on to other things. Because like Ethan said, we're in a time that's just what happens.
Yep.
And there's no sense in holding grudges or being upset with people.
Yes.
But just be thankful for the time they did work for you.
Yes. I thought you mentioned firing. what point would you say it's time to fire somebody? And do you give those employees second, third chances? Like, what is in your mind, what got to the point where it's time to fire this employee? Because just like employees grow your business, a bad employee can hurt your business tremendously, yes, can cost you lots of money and reputation. So it is important, and it's really hard. Yes. It's not fun, but you've got to do it. So what would you say?
Well, that cannot be answered in one simple statement, because there are different levels, and there are mistakes that people make that you warn them and you tell them, if this happens again, we will fire you. Mm-hmm. And then there's things that people do intentionally that they don't get a warning. Once they've done those things, they're just fired. I was talking to a client the other day, and they had someone who actually quit, but if they wouldn't have quit, they would have needed to fire them, because they affected their business in a very negative way, lost them quite a bit of business. And every situation is different. Every employee is different. But you do have to have a, what I want to say is a set guideline to where if they affect your business in a negative way intentionally, then that's pretty much firing at first instance.
Yeah.
If they mess up on accident and it can be addressed, then that's a whole different story. You can always give people second and third chances.
Yeah.
But you will have situations, if you go through very many employees, that there will be a firing on the first incident, because they do things that they shouldn't. They say things that they shouldn't. And I think you have to be aware that if you have a situation to where your clients say one thing and your employee says something different, and you're trying to weigh out how to handle that situation, you've got to go on, each situation has to be its own case. There's not going to be across the board, you handle it all this way.
Yes.
But you will need to know how you're going to walk in that. And I think in most service industries, if you have a thief, they're fired in first instance. Once somebody steals something from you or a client, there's no discussing that. There's no second chances. But what I will tell you that kind of piggybacks along with Ethan's earlier comment is, when you fire somebody, you will have to pay some extra money, because they're going to be unemployed for a little bit. And that's part of your responsibility, is having a business. So no, it is going to cost you something, but you're better off to cut ties right when something like that happens.
Yes.
Now, if somebody accidentally messes something up, that's a different story. And
most
of the time, when people have accidents, they don't want it to happen again. So you can work through those things.
Yes.
But there are more extreme situations you have to deal
with. Oh my goodness, employees will never cease to amaze you. I'm sure of it. If you are bored in your business, hire some employees. They'll give you some entertainment.
That's right. I can tell you, employees that we've had over the years that would show up late to work, and we would tell them, you have to show up on time or we're going to let you go. Every chance you gave them, it never got better. So if you said, okay, don't do it again, or you're going to get fired, they'd be good for a little bit. And then they would go back to their old ways. And then you say, don't do it again, or we're really going to fire you. They'd be good for a little bit, and they'd go back to their old ways. So
repeat offenders.
There are definitely repeat offenders who's not trying to be harmful. But if you tell somebody that they have to be on time or they're not going to keep their job, then if they're late a couple times, you might as well cut ties, because it's going to be a continual process.
And just a quick reminder, especially for those of you who have not had employees before, there are always legal aspects to this that you can kind of safeguard as an employer. Obviously, if you fire somebody, they're going to be mad. So if they can sue you, they will, or figure out a way to sue you. So, and the best way to safeguard is, one, talk to an attorney. They might draw up some employment contracts that you could use. We're not legal professionals by any means, but I do know that putting things in writing, have an employee handbook if you can, or even just a one-page document that you can give your employees when they get hired on that says, hey, here's some fireable offenses that we will fire you for if you steal stuff, if you do that. And just simple terms laid out on paper where that you and the employee both sign it can, I'm not an attorney, but it can be a good safeguard against getting sued. Yes. Or at least give you some reasons behind why you fired somebody. So.
Yes, that's right. And you can have a document that if you have to fire someone, they sign it, that you mm-hmm. discussed it with them, but sometimes they will not sign it. So it doesn't necessarily matter. It's better be proactive up front.
Yes. Yep, for sure. So just I would talk to an attorney about that and get I mean, it doesn't have to be a big, huge contract, but get some paperwork in place. Yes. Ask their advice as far as what do I need to document when I fire somebody or give them a warning.
Yep,
because you are probably your HR representative unless you're a good sized company. So, all right, I think that was it.
Yep, I think so.
All right, well, thank you guys for watching, listening, however you're viewing us. We're on YouTube, we're on podcast channels, so wherever you like to listen to us, or maybe you were listening to us and you wanted to watch us, you can find us on YouTube. Leave a comment. Subscribe, leave us a review, show us some love.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends and family. To ask us any questions that might get answered in our next podcasts, please visit our website, thecontractorfiles.com. Have a great rest of your day.